The tram brakes squeal like a seagull that swallowed a harmonica, a sound I've come to recognize as the city's morning alarm. It's my last full day in Prague, and I'm standing at the stop on Nemesty Miru, watching the number 22 rattle past with a full load of tourists heading for the castle. The heat is already pressing down, even at 9 in the morning, and I've got a list of things I want to do before I leave. One last ride on a tram that actually goes where I expect, a final walk through the old town before the crowds get unbearable, and a proper goodbye to the Vltava. But first, I need coffee. I duck into a cafe I've been meaning to try all week, La Bohème Cafe on Zitna, a specialty place that roasts its own beans. The barista remembers me from Tuesday, which is either flattering or a sign I've been here too long. I order an espresso, about 60 koren, which is less than $3, and take it outside to watch the morning trams rattle past. The summer schedule means longer waits, but at this hour, the city is still stretching, and I'm not in a hurry. The thing about Prague in August is that it's both glorious and exhausting. The tourist hordes are at their peak, the trams are full, and this year the track repairs at Ujesd mean half the center is rerouted. I've learned to check the detours before I head out, and I'm telling you, if you're visiting this summer, just plan extra time. The good news is that a 90-minute tram ticket costs about 50 koren, and you can hop on and off the whole center without thinking twice. It's a bargain, really. I've been thinking a lot about what makes a place feel like home. Prague has been my base for 6 days, and I've already got my favorite bench in Letna Park, my go-to pub in Vinohrady, and a decent grasp of which trams go where. But today I want to see the city one last time with fresh eyes. So I hop on the 9, which is running on its detour through Mislakova, and I head toward the river. The tram is packed with a mix of commuters and tourists, and I overhear someone asking for directions to Charles Bridge. I point them towards Staromesto, and I watch them fumble with their paper map. I remember feeling that lost a week ago. Past the National Theater, I step off and cross the tram tracks to the riverbank. The Vltava is low and slow, and the light is already hazy. There's a small group of people setting up for a river cruise, and a few swans are doing their regal glide thing near the bridge. I find a patch of shade under a linden tree and just stand there for a moment, listening to the water slap against the stone. The city hums behind me, but here it's almost quiet. I check my phone, no new messages, just the daily forecast. 24 to 32 degrees, overcast, and the UV index is high. I'm glad I packed a hat because the heat is baking the pavement. I decide to walk up to Letna, one of my favorite spots in Prague. The climb is steep, but the view from the park is worth every step. There's a beer garden up top, and I'm in need of a cold pivo and a moment of shade. The beer garden is half empty, which surprises me given the heat. I grab a table at the edge, under a chestnut tree, and order a half liter. The price is around 60 koren, which is about $2.50. I've seen the prices go up over the years. Beer is up something like 50% since 2019, but it's still one of the cheapest places to drink in Europe. I sit there, watching the rooftops of Mala Strana and the castle on the hill, and I feel a pang of something like regret. I'm leaving tomorrow, heading southeast, and I'm not sure when I'll be back. I pull out my notebook and look at the map I've sketched. The plan is to take a train to Trebon, a town in South Bohemia, then on to Český Krumlov, and then into South Moravia for the wine harvest. The harvest starts in September, and I want to be there for the grape picking. But for now, I'm still in Prague, and there's one thing I haven't done yet. I haven't walked across Charles Bridge at least once without getting elbowed. It's nearly impossible in summer, but I'm going to try. I walk down from Letna through the old Jewish quarter, past the Spanish synagogue, and I'm struck by how quiet the streets are here compared to the old town. The crowd thins out as I approach the bridge, and I find a spot at the edge where I can see the statue of St. John of Nepomuk, the one everyone touches for luck. The bridge is a river of people, but I wedge myself against the railing and look west. The castle is glowing in the hazy sun, and the Vltava is glittering below. I think about how this bridge has been here since the 14th century, and how I'm just a tiny blip in its long story. At the Old Town side, I duck into the narrow lanes to escape the crowds. I find a small cafe off Karlova, the one with the cat asleep in the window, and I order a lemonade, about 80 koren, and I sit by the window, watching the waves of tourists pass. This is the touristy heart, but there's a rhythm to it that I've started to love. The astronomical clock draws a crowd every hour, and I can hear the faint chime from here. I don't need to see it again. I've watched it a dozen times this week. I finish my lemonade and decide to do one last practical thing. Check the train schedule to Trebon. I don't book yet, but I want to know the options. There's a station a few blocks away, but my phone has the PID app, and I can look it up there. The app is a lifesaver, by the way. It's the only ticket system you need in Prague, and the monthly pass, around 550 koren, paid for itself in the first 3 days. I find the train, it's about 2 hours, and I make a note to book it tonight. I wander back toward Wencesla Square, but I keep to the side streets. The square is packed with people, a mix of tourists and locals enjoying the last day of Pride Week. There are flags everywhere, and the mood is festive. The parade is tomorrow, and apparently it ends at Stvanis Island this year, not Letna, which is a change I only know about because I read it in the local news. I'm a little sad I'll miss it, but I've seen the city in its summer glory, and I have a train to catch. For my last dinner in Prague, I want something simple and Czech. I head to Glabiku, a pub in Malá Strana that's been there for over 100 years. It's a bit off the main tourist track, and I get a table near the back. I order the hovízí gulas s nedlíky, the beef goulash with bread dumplings, which sets me back around 180 koren, about $8. It's hearty, heavy, and exactly what I need after a day of walking. I take my time, watching the locals come in for their evening pivo. There's a couple arguing in Czech and an old man reading a newspaper, and I feel a warmth that has nothing to do with the summer heat. This is the Prague I've come to love, the one that exists between the landmarks, the one that's lived in, not just visited. I think about all the paperwork I did this week, the foreign police registration, the bank account, the transport pass, and I feel a sense of accomplishment. I've done more than just see Prague. I've started to live it. The walk back to my flat takes me across the Mons Bridge, and the sky is a deep orange. The trams are full of people heading home, and the river is a ribbon of gold. I stop at the railing for a last look at the castle, lit up now against the darkening sky. I can hear music from a nearby boat, and the church bells are ringing the hour. It's a moment I want to bottle. I'm going to miss the city, but I'm also excited to move on. Tomorrow, I'll take the train to Trebon, and then I'll follow the Vltava south, through the pond country, and into the wine hills of Moravia. The harvest is coming, and with it, the start of a new chapter. But tonight, I'm just grateful for Prague, for the chaos, the heat, the cold beer, and the trams that never quite go where you think they will.
Dobrý den, Prague.
I'll be back before you know it. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed this first glimpse of Czechia, and I'd love to hear from you if you've been to Prague. Tell me what you think I missed. I'll be reading your messages from the train, somewhere between Trebon and the vineyards. Until then, keep your eyes on the spires, and I'll see you on the road.